The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. However you're taking us in. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Still to come, Vinny Maliulo standing by. Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke at Southern Cali. Jason, I know it's extreme. Jeff, I know it's extremely poor form to speak about the guests that we have on and then sort of like give a counter argument to some of their plays. May I have 30 seconds of poor form? Are you allowing me that?
Yes.
Can I get a permit? Yeah. Jeff is like, I'm out of this. Jeff, I need your permission.
Just okay. Do it.
Okay, thank you. There it is. That's all I needed. Iowa, number one. So Pete's number one was Iowa over 7.5. Doesn't their offense, how can I put this, look to suck this year?
But when does that usually not happen going into a year for them?
But like particularly horrific. And so I'm wondering if you cannot, like if you have trouble scoring, should that be your number one in terms of being an over? Should that be your number one?
Well, it'll be very simple. We're going to learn very quickly
for them
because South Dakota State is not the gimme usual buy game, as we know.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Cy-Hawk, we know, is big rivalry. At least they get the game at home. Nevada's in change. Obviously, Norvell left there. And in Rutgers, week four, if you don't go 4-0.
Gots to go 4-0,
you don't
man.
Go 4-0, you're in a little bit of trouble there, Gil.
Yeah. That's a gots to go 4-0 situation.
You go 4-0, you're going to win.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's what I pointed out. Like, it is, if you can go 4-0 and maybe even 5-1 or 6-0, goodness, if you're 6-0, forget about it.
6-0, it's easy then.
Yeah. But if you can't go 4-0, totally different story. Ladies and gentlemen. The host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast is Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I see these college win totals up here. Getting a look at.
Oh, you get the second screen there? Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, we will have Dr. Bob. A lot of tweets we get are, hey, is Dr. Bob coming on? Because Dr. Bob last year was 6-0. His college football season win totals. And not only was he 6-0, he was like 6-0 like as quickly as you could get to 6-0 clinched. And then he was like 11-0 beyond the ones he gave on this show. He will come on the show here later this month to give his. I have some random baseball questions for you. One, the Anaheim Angels hit 7 home runs yesterday and lost, which is, again, it's only happened one other time in the history of baseball. It's just like you got to try to make that happen. It is so symbolic of where that franchise is. Shohei hits 2. Where do you, famous Shohei backer, where do you stand now with roughly 2 months of the season left on his MVP shot?
Well, you know, the market has seemed to shift significantly to Judge's direction, and I can at least kind of understand it with the amount of home runs he hit. You know, ending July with 42 home runs is impressive. But when it comes to Ohtani, I mean, a lot of it just has to do with the fact that the Angels are so bad every day. It kind of reminds me of the conversations we would have about Juan Soto last year.
Yep.
Like, you just need the Angels to do something. He hits 2 home runs. They don't win. He gives up 2 earned runs in 6 innings. They don't win. You know, I understand that the votes are going to be harder to come by if the Angels, you know, don't go on a huge winning streak, which they're probably not going to. But there's still 60 games left or so, 55 games. I'm not going to throw away my ticket yet or anything.
No, don't do that. As I pointed out last year, I get it, it's Cy Young, but Robbie Ray was 100-1 at this point last year to win the Cy Young.
Fernando Tatis was -350 to win the NL MVP this time last year. Still plenty of time for all sorts of things to happen. I do think Yordan Alvarez is the most mispriced though. He's like 50-1 now. Like, how is he 50-1? He's not that much worse, if at all worse, than Aaron Judge. Just the home runs.
Yeah, 45-1 I'm seeing on him somewhere in that pocket with all this. So you brought up Juan Soto. I think this is a pretty interesting question here. So Juan Soto, of course, famously traded to the San Diego Padres from the Washington Nationals. And again, big hug for all the people in the DMV between that and the Orioles at the trade deadline. Juan Soto's about 35-1 to win the National League MVP. How do we feel about this if, in fact, Juan Soto now makes, obviously he's got to do his part the rest of the way, but, you know, for those of us who love Juan Soto, we see that happening. If he contributes hugely and markedly to a Padres, run to the postseason. And then there's this other sort of thing where, again, a lot of people, you and I being among them, think he sort of got shafted last year for the MVP. So is there a makeup call kind of angle to this? And would you bet him at 35-1 right now?
Well, you know, one of the things when it comes to futures betting is we always talk about getting ahead of the move. And if you had anticipated that Juan Soto was going to get traded going into the All-Star break or whatever, you could have grabbed 80-1 or 100-1. So the time to, you know, grab Soto was probably 2-3 weeks ago at this point, unfortunately. 35-1, I don't love as much. I think he definitely has a shot. But when you look at Goldschmidt, Freddie Freeman, Austin Riley, those guys are playing, you know, out of their minds right now. So Soto's going to have to kind of up his game to another level, and the Padres are going to probably have to, you know, close the gap on the Dodgers, if not overtake them, which is very unlikely.
All right, let's talk about one of the New York Mets, their closer, Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz has faced 167 batters this year. He has struck out 87 of them. Relievers don't win Cy Youngs, though. That's the deal. Will he get no votes, some votes, or is he actually a contender?
At the moment, I think he would probably get mostly second and or third place votes, probably more third place votes than second.
I think you're right.
But you got to kind of look at his numbers and say, well, what else can you ask him to do? You know, like you have a guy who has a specific job. He went out and got a 2-inning save last night versus the heart of the Braves lineup. It's hard for me to say that I wouldn't consider him for a first place Cy Young vote, you know, and there's still 2 months left. I think Alcantara's probably, if he can get through this next stretch of games, I know he's got 2 starts versus the Dodgers coming up. I think he's got 1 versus the Padres in there too. If he can get through this next stretch of games, I would assume he's likely the NL winner, but stranger things have happened. You know, it's not over yet.
Last National League Cy Young Award winner out of the bullpen was Eric Gagne, 2003.
And if you look at their numbers, it's still probably not as good as Gagne's, except the strikeout numbers are extraordinary. Whenever you're striking out 55% of your batters, you know, you deserve Cy Young consideration.
Who was the last American League one? I'm just curious. Who was the last American League reliever? Eck in 92, I think.
Probably.
Oh, my goodness. All right, what did you bet today in baseball?
I got a couple different bets. I bet the Braves plus 126 money line. I bet Baltimore minus 149. Gunnar Henderson got called up. I wasn't expecting him to get called up this season, so it's kind of nice to see the Orioles be aggressive in their rebuild all of a sudden.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they made a run at this despite Mancini and Lopez being scuttled?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a tough trade to make, but probably had to get something out of them knowing, you know, the position of your roster and your franchise going forward. So I made a bet there, and I have tickets to the Dodger game tonight. I've actually had these tickets for like a month. I didn't buy them because Vin Scully died. I've been planning on going to this game for a while. I also didn't know Juan Soto was going to be on the Padres when I bought the tickets.
Good for you.
I'm going to go to the game tonight. It's Vin Scully night. They're doing a tribute before the game. I'm going to try to get there for that. But does it make me a bad person if I bet the Padres plus 145 on Vin Scully night?
No, it makes you exactly why we love you. It's part of your charm. I like that.
So I will be at Vin Scully night with a Padres plus 145 ticket. Probably first inning too, but I haven't got there yet.
Man, well, good for you for going early for the Scully tribute. Let me just go back to one thing you just said there. If you were the Orioles front office, so you would have done the same thing? Because what I was saying earlier in the week was, I get it. It's what you do as a baseball franchise. Economically, this is what you're supposed to do. But, and I'm borrowing someone else's phrase, But the Orioles organization has not earned the social capital to do that with their fan base. Didn't that fan base deserve better? Shouldn't the Orioles have said, you know what, instead of saying, Jason, for God's sakes, wait a little longer, guys. We'll get there. You would have done the same?
Sort of. So my thinking is Mancini's got the great story and everybody loves him and he's, you know, a notable player. But you traded him to the Astros. Not like you dumped him in Siberia for the winter. He's going to the Astros. He's a free agent. You can re-sign him at the end of the season. So, you know, he understands the business. It's you have to get something out of it. And then Lopez, he's a closer. Like, I don't love it. I think it sends a bad message to the clubhouse that you're not trying to compete. But he's a closer. You can replace him.
Okay.
You know, Dodgers pick up guys off waivers all the time. They have two ERAs the next year.
All right, so what were the bets again? Braves, Orioles, Padres?
Braves, Orioles, Padres, and I actually bet a World Series future today.
Oh, what'd you got?
This morning, I bet the Rays 22-1. Remember, Wander Franco coming back. We haven't talked about him at all year. He was all we talked about last
year.
That's
right.
Good player, decent team, you know.
Had the massive streak last year of on base, consecutive games getting on base. And the Rays, the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear, they really are such a smart franchise, right? And they're always going to figure it out. So 22-1 on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Like, they're not Astros or Yankees quality, but 22-1.
Yeah. All right, Jason, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
With your Padres ticket. Coming back is the biggest NFL story right in front of us. Next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Another friendly reminder about our college football betting guide. It is so good. Matt Eumanns and crew putting this together year after year, and it just keeps getting better. Start your football season on the right foot. Expert profiles of all 131 teams, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. Only way to get access, though, to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. That is key. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive the college and pro football betting guides along with full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Look at that thing. Bama on the cover. How many years has Bama been on the cover of our college football betting guide?
Good question.
Is Tufts ever going to be on the cover? What do you think? No?
I don't think so.
No, not going to be on the cover. Okay. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate that. But also, it's amazing that the horse racing thing, just like people want to, we never know what's going to like land on people. So you've got the horse racing stalwarts. And let me just give you one of them. Sir_Bear, he was going after. So yesterday, again, this comes from a conversation. And Bill Krakenberger and I, we do Unscripted every Thursday. We don't know where we're going with the conversation. And he said something that triggered this in my head. I'm like, I know how to fix horse racing. And so the horse racing diehards, I'll give you an example. Sir Bear, he said, one, hard to believe the sport is dying, which is what I said, when the handles at many tracks continue to increase. And he goes, two, those that can, and this is the kind of tone they use, right? Those that cannot understand parimutuel betting probably shouldn't be betting anything and most likely only, listen, that's not what this is about. We'll get to some of the others here. This is from, let's see, Roger Jones. He goes, Gil, you could not be more right on your fixed odds for horse racing take. As a serious player for 35 years, I can say it's a tough game to beat nowadays. Years ago, you could win, but with more sophisticated players, more available information, and high takeout, it's tough. I currently can play somewhere between 2% and 2% profit loss on -2% and 2% loss. On fixed odds, I can consistently win between 12 to 15%. Maybe those dissenters are betting large amounts to get rebates to make money. For small players, fixed is better. And this from Paul Zilm, who I believe works at a sports book here in town. Paul said, when you rile up the horse racing base with something different than what they know, you're doing something right, Gil. I don't know if fixed odds will grow or not the way New Jersey's rolling it out, but I do know new ideas is the only way to grow the horse racing game. And then from Dennis Drazin himself at US Bets, And here's where I dropped the mic on this, because I did not know this. He goes, 5 years from now, fixed odds will be 50% of the handle in horse racing in New Jersey. Thank you very much. Marshall McLuhan. Phil Weiss, I got to say, Gil, Paul Carr is my favorite of all your guests. Hey, Phil Weiss is saying something nice. He said, there's no name dropping, no pick selling, and no going to text you privately. He's a true man of the people.
Yeah, that's a good assessment of Paul.
What got into Phil Weiss? Phil, nice.
Phil says nice things every once in a while.
He does. I'm just messing with him. Let's see. Oh, Chris Heath was talking about Felica saying he in-gamed Sungjae Im at the Wyndham Championship. And Chris Heath tweets, clearly Chris Felica is unaware of the inevitable implosion. See what he did there? Get it, Jeff? Implosion. Jeff, no comment. I appreciate all the tweets, all the feedback at Beatty the Book. 3JackH3131. Iowa's offense couldn't get much worse than it was last year. I'm all in with Futak. Okay. I hear you, man.
Just have to avoid a disaster early in those first four games where they'll likely be favored in all four.
Yeah.
You go 4-0, you're going to win.
Preseason football started yesterday. This just in, a special numbers game investigation revealed. Raiders beat the Jaguars, and they do so in, can we call it riveting fashion, Jeff? Is that okay if we do that? Riveting?
Sure, that's a word.
If you're riveted by very little. But again, this is another conversation that Crack and I had yesterday. Are you the type of person who bets preseason football or who doesn't? Bill does. I do not. He asked me why I don't. And again, I respect anybody who believes they have a consistent edge at anything in betting. I'm all about it. If you can do it over the long term in preseason football, God bless you. But, you know, some of the reasons I gave were I just don't feel that it is the best use of my time betting, because I don't feel like even when you get beat writers intel, pardon me, that over the course of a 60-minute football game, that beat writer intel necessarily translates to winning bets consistently, at least for me. Maybe for someone else it's different. But for me, I know to me it doesn't work out. Last night, with the exception of the great Will Hill had the over in that game last night. But didn't everybody else that we talked to, everybody else was like, oh, under. Got to go under here. Example, just Exhibit A. I know it's just one game, so I don't want to make too much of it. But that was just another one where I feel like people were like so into this one bit of thinking based on who was playing and more interestingly, who was not. And it didn't work out. And my whole thing was, again, if I'm going to lose bets, I don't want to have the thought after the losing of the bet of, I can't believe I bet on that. Does that make sense, Jeff? Where it's like some things you're willing to lose, but like others are not. And I'm just not willing to lose on preseason football intel. Did you bet last night? Will you bet any preseason?
No, and highly unlikely.
Dr. Bob, who we talked about is going to give us his college football season win totals later this month, he... when there were four preseason games for every team, remember, as of last year, after the Hall of Fame game, it's only three preseason games. And then there's that really awkward week off that we have to sit through before the season starts. It's not like the season starts earlier. We just don't get preseason football, right? But he used to, when there was four preseason games, week two, he had this, it was the one preseason thing I used to talk about, which is there was this amazing angle he used to have where, like, teams that lost the first week of preseason who were playing a team that won in week two. And we don't usually do trends like this, but this one preseason one was just so tried and true. We'll have to ask him about it. It shouldn't matter that it went to three games from four, I guess. But maybe to him it's like, well, it's a different thing now because there's not four games. There's only three, so teams will play it differently. So I don't think that applies anymore either, I guess is what I'm saying. Biggest thing in football right now, though, from a betting perspective, in the non-Deshaun Watson, we have no idea what's going to happen category. You see this Matthew Stafford story, Jeff? So, basically, he's got a baseball-like elbow problem. That's how they're sort of characterizing it. I'm not saying he's going in and getting Tommy John, but he's been getting injections on this thing, and he's like not fully throwing till, you know, at least a week from now kind of thing. should we be concerned about this? Or Rams backers or fans? Like, are we like, is the biggest story in football right in front of us and we're just kind of all saying like, eh, we'll see.
You know, Gil, I think we should be a little worried.
I do too.
Even though Stafford, the one thing with Stafford, Gil, is he has the reputation of always being injured, but he always plays. Other than the years that he had the significant injuries, Stafford always plays every single game or darn near close to it. But the biggest thing with this for the Rams, let's just look at the first game of the season. This was a pick, Rams minus one, Buffalo minus one, the whole summer between that pocket. 2.5s are popping now.
Yeah.
So the market buys that this is something right now with Matthew Stafford on top of it. It is the biggest story other than the Watson stuff.
I mean, there's a scenario where it ends up being the big, again, it might be nothing.
Be nothing.
It could be nothing. But it could also be the biggest story of the entire football season. And remember, there is like, if you're like, if anyone listening to that, it sort of doubts if stories stay under the radar. We've been at VEASAN for 5.5 years. You know what was the most famous one of these? Was the Andrew Luck retirement. I remember coming in here that year, and it would get later and later, right? It was late July. Oh, Andrew Luck's on. Early August, you're like, second week of August, you're like, is he playing at all? Like, what's going on? Retires. And then there were even some reports of shenanigans at sportsbooks where, like, people who might have been on the in on that were making huge underplays on the Colts that year that all cashed. They got ahead of the news. So, again, this is not a retirement thing, but this is, you know, when last we saw Matthew Stafford, he was winning a Super Bowl and he was on top of the world. So it's hard to get that out of your mind. And as you point out with the injuries, he always plays. Remember, there's that famous NFL Films thing where he's like, I'm going back in the game.
I play his rookie year against Cleveland. Yeah,
that's right. But this is something to watch. 10.5 is their season win total. -250 to make the playoffs. 2-1 to miss the playoffs. +120 to win the division. 5-1 to win the conference. 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. And by the way, if you're wondering about the Rams quarterback depth chart, Mr. Wofford, the great J.J. Wofford, is their backup quarterback.
And John
Wofford. What did I say? J.J.?
Yeah, it's John.
John Wofford. Where did I get J.J.? And number three, third would be Virginia Cavaliers standout Bryce Perkins, who we bet on a lot in college football. It's a great success. Anyway, just got to bring that up. Could be the biggest story going. We shall see. Coming back with the great Hall of Famer, Vinny Magliulo next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. It's Gil Alexander with the Hall of Famer, Vinny Magliulo, ladies and gentlemen. Slow jam with Vinny. How you doing, Hall of Famer?
What do you say, buddy? I'm doing well. I have had a very nice summer. We've not seen each other for a few weeks.
You and my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, inducted to the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. How was the ceremony?
It was a great event, Gil. Thank you. Very well attended. I'm happy to say, pleased to say. Of course, my initial goal, the actual ceremony was held at the Meadowlands at the racetrack. Mm-hmm. They weren't running that night, but they did have simulcasting. And my initial goal was to go back there and win back the money I lost in 1976 when it opened.
Did you have a wager going while you were getting inducted?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. One of my brothers was there, and he was my partner that night. Great event, though, Gil. Got to see not only family and friends, but a lot of colleagues and some very kind, some very respected bettors. Captain Jack Andrews was there. Mm-hmm. Spanky was there.
See, that's
Mattress
gotta make,
Mac.
That's got to make you feel good.
Oh, no. And we spent some time. I got to talk to him and spend a little time, and they were very gracious.
Very
and
respectful. Showing respect.
Well, yeah. You know, and you know, the fact that they're there, and one of the things that I pointed out was, you know, this is a it's a two-way street, this endeavor of ours. And so I wanted to include the folks on the other side of the counter who have over the years participated in some of my operations. So, but it was really great. I was most grateful too for my family to be there. They've endured this career. My wife and kids, my siblings.
They've endured this career.
I did make it a point to say, you know what, my wife and kids they've sweated more sides, totals, and money lines than a lot of operators over the years. It's funny, too, when your kids are in grade school and high school and, you know, they're doing their homework and they said, who do we need in this who do we need in the Monday night game, Dad?
Yeah. I want to ask you about a couple of things we've been talking about today. One is just on the other side of the break, we were talking about Matthew Stafford, the elbow. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts with Deshaun Watson. Who knows? I mean, we get that the NFL has now appealed, that Roger Goodell has appointed someone to now issue what they will have as the punishment, depending on what that punishment is. You know, if it's 12-week suspension, maybe the NFLPA eats it. But if it's the full season that's being reported and a fine and treatment, oh, there's a lawsuit coming from the NFLPA, which is, by the way, why I thought the NFL – it's funny. Every article you read is like, oh, Deshaun should have just eaten it. I think the NFL should have just eaten it, in my opinion, because now what they're doing is prolonging this forever. And yeah. I'm not saying they're not right to have wanted a longer suspension. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the process they put in place, they should, like, now they've just made a sham of it, right? Yeah. So we have the Deshaun Watson moving part. We don't know, and by the way, we don't know if there's a countersuit, if he then will play week one. He may play week one for all we know, you know, if there's a countersuit. And so that's that. And then there's the Jimmy Garoppolo issue. Where does that guy end up?
Yeah.
As a bookmaker, like when this stuff is going on, how quick on the trigger are you for pulling down? Like, what do you do?
Well, great question. It's an important question. Let's look at there's three things right now, and I'll tackle them. Let's start with the Rams situation with Matthew Stafford, right? No contact. I mean, obviously, it's more of a severe or a more serious injury than I think a lot of people realize right now. So it bears watching. Everything with the Rams is still up because looks like they're going to give it time, and you know, rest may cure whatever it is. But it bears watching, and it kind of relates to the Garoppolo issue a bit in that they're in the same division, right? And and they're kind of one and two in the division. So you look at that and say, well, what are the 49ers going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, they're not going to practice him.
What
they did yesterday was announce how healthy he is. Well, that's because they want to trade him and try to get something for him. I think what's going to impact the Garoppolo situation is what happens with teams if there's injuries. If there's a quarterback injury during, you know, the course of training and preseason, that's going to jumpstart a Garoppolo situation, right? Probably a Sam Darnold situation too, maybe. I mean, because I think that Baker Mayfield is probably the front runner there. So they're kind of related, and the reason the Rams are related too, if for some reason that Garoppolo doesn't get traded, do the Niners just release him? And I don't know. And then if they, you know, because the Rams are not going to trade for him, and I don't think they're going to, you know, give assets away within their division. And I don't know if the Niners would want to trade him within the division either.
Cleveland is the one, though, right? Because that's now, they got to figure that out.
Well, here's now the Cleveland situation, the Deshaun Watson situation is probably the one that has the most impact right now from our side of the counter, right? Let's look at week one. Where the game opened with the Browns at Carolina as 4.5-point favorites. There was a steady stream of Carolina money. And that was initially a take of the price, right, Gil? 4.5, 4, 3.5, held up at 3. Well, now, you know, Carolina's a 1-point favorite because it looks like he's not going to play. Whatever happens and transpires with things, the most likely scenario is that he will not play in the first week. However, when you look at the regular season wins where it was 9.5, you suspended that. You have to suspend that because you just don't know if it's Jacoby Brissett, that number is not 9.5.
No.
You look at the division where they were they were co-favorites. I think initially we opened the Browns and the Bengals at 9-5 in the division. And we had the Ravens at 5-2 and then the Steelers at 10-1. Well, right now the Browns are the third choice at 4-1. We've got the Ravens at 7-5, the Bengals at 2-1, and the Brownies at 4.
I feel compelled to ask this.
Yes.
So I get it. Jimmy Garoppolo, let's characterize it as significant upgrade over Jacoby Brissett.
Yes.
Hypothetically. But what is the nature of the drop-off from Deshaun to Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it kind of smaller than we might think?
Yeah, because I think, you know, two different styles of quarterback, right? But we haven't seen Deshaun Watson in a couple of years now. So you would think that, I think there's a bigger drop-off with Jacoby Brissett, with no disrespect to him, but he's also mobile. But Garoppolo's had a lot of success, right, over the last few years.
Yes, he has.
More success. So I would say that, you know, the drop-off...
And doesn't seem to be given, like, consensus credit on that, by the way. It should be pointed out.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, the guy just wins, right? I mean, he's a gamer. But, okay, you know, it's a business, and the 49ers appear to be ready to move on, and that's fine. But I don't think there is as big a drop-off from Deshaun Watson to Jimmy Garoppolo compared to Deshaun Watson to Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, no question about that.
So what is it now, Gil? Is it 2 points? Is it 1.5? Yeah, it's probably somewhere between one and 2 points, maybe.
I mean, which is not negligible, you know, but humongous.
It's not. But yeah. Again, if it goes through some key numbers, then it becomes
a big deal.
It's amplified, right? So, but
yeah, I guess what I'm sort of suggesting is I wonder if. And these are all hypotheticals.
Sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo, this just in, has not been, you know, there's nothing imminent.
Yeah, no, right.
But I'm just sort of speculating because, first of all, again, I don't know that Deshaun Watson won't play week one. I think there's a scenario where he will play week one. But if somehow this goes where he didn't, would the Browns just be content with Jacoby Brissett? Would they try to make a deal for Jimmy Garoppolo? And if they did, I really honestly, like, if he just came out of the chute and was really good, I could see it being nothing. In terms of a difference between Deshaun within a week or two,
yeah.
I really do.
Well, let's face it, the Brownies, you know, they've got good players too. We're talking about the quarterback situation, but the Browns offensively, they've got a good running game, you know, and of course everything we're talking about is predicated on health and things like that. But yeah, the Brownies are a good team. Would the price on the yes to make the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo be a favorite? Yeah, compared to Jacoby Brissett, yeah, I think
compared
you'd have
to Jacoby Brissett, yeah. But yeah. I'll end the week. I know this is not our last segment, but I'll end the week the exact same way I started the week with Drew Dinsick. Well, not start, but this was Tuesday, where I was like, "Have we? Like, I get it. The Deshaun Watson is a huge thing, but in all of this conversation about Deshaun, have we lost sight of the fact that he's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers quite yet?" And Drew, he's responding. He goes, "It's funny you bring that up." He said, "Because I have had conversations with some of the sharpest football bettors." Mm-hmm. On Earth, and that's exactly what we were, where the conversation drifted into.
Yeah, again,
I think it's a worthwhile question.
Well, yeah, and again, yeah. And we haven't seen him in a couple of years,
right.
So you know, that's you know, you can say he's fresh, but he's also missed, and that's he's got a lot to make up there.
More with Vinny on the other side, Vinny Magliulo, his perspective from behind the book, and I'll ask him about this horse racing thing. Am I a genius or a village idiot? I have no idea how this is going from Vinny. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. $100. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, Vinny Maiolio, everybody. The Hall of Famer. When they inducted you, did they go with Maiolio or Maiolio?
They went Maiolio. Although Chrissy corrected them.
He was like, it's Maiolio. Did he? It's Maiolio. You guys,
we had
really
some good pictures. It was a great event. Again, thanks for all the kind words and wishes from everybody out there. It was a good event.
Time. With the Hall of Famer. So let me ask you about preseason football.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this all week, obviously. Preseason football starting yesterday with the Hall of Fame game between the Jags and the Raiders. Raiders emerging victorious.
Raiders and over.
Total went over, which was a big deal because everybody was betting the under.
I know you want to know this. What was the ratio compared to baseball?
I wasn't going to ask that, but that's one of my go-to questions.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. So the Hall of Fame game, again, initially where we we opened the Raiders high, we had them 2. They went down to pick, and there were Jags 1 in some places at one point. Yeah. We actually got Raider money yesterday. The Raiders closed the favorite.
By the way, the Hall of Fame question, for those mm-hmm. who don't know, the reason that I started asking this question is because there was the 1 year. Remember the year where they scrapped the game because the field wasn't playable?
Yeah, the paint game.
There were books in town, and that was a Sunday, so there were 15 MLB games that mm-hmm. day. There were books in town that said the handle for that game exceeded all 15 combined. This is a Thursday, so it's a shorter slate.
Yeah. Believe it or not, baseball overall outhandled the Hall of Fame game yesterday.
Baseball overall
now,
did.
The Hall of Fame game had more bet on it than any individual baseball game.
Yes.
And, you know, the Mets Braves game was a highly bet. That game got played quite a bit, which understandably so, right? But football, you know, standalone, the game itself did more. But again, it's the Hall of Fame game too, Gil, so, you know, lower limits, quicker line movement and things like that. But baseball overall had a higher handle combined, but not individual games.
Let's do it moving forward. Let's do it the other way. Week 1 of preseason next week. And I'm asking you to speculate mm-hmm. here. The entirety of those games, handle-wise, versus 1:10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern game week 1 of the regular season.
So I think week 1 of the regular season, particularly, let's say, that Sunday night game, right? I mean, or Monday night game is going to...
Not a chance, right? Doesn't
that'll do it. Maybe even the Thursday night game, you know, because there'll be things, you know, it'll be tied into the week and stuff. So, and again, you go back to your regular limits, you know, 20, 30,000, you know, so...
Let's try it this way. Northwestern Nebraska from Dublin, Ireland on August 27th.
Compared to
the entire baseball slate that day.
The entire baseball slate will do more. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know, again, I don't know. I don't have that schedule in front of me, but
But will it be more than half of the baseball slate? I'm just trying to get to how the hierarchy works.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
This just in. People like themselves some football.
Well, again, and we're going to have it now through February, so everybody's excited about it.
Yes.
And we've seen an uptick, Gil, now with everything involving football. You know, mm-hmm. Props, futures, weeks one of college and pro. And so, yeah.
Do you participate either openly or in stealth mode in any contest, Mr. Maiolio?
Yes.
Very good answer. Do you participate in handicapping or Survivor or both?
Yes.
I love it.
Put him on the stand.
I support. I believe in supporting the industry.
Yes, you do. Donations to the industry. We know that you like betting horses, so I guess I have to ask this on the way out here. Yesterday, Crack and I, we drift into all kinds of conversations. We could be talking about anything. Yesterday,
good conversations with Bill.
Oh, it's the best because we don't. It's like wherever
it goes.
I just
missed Bill, by the way, back east. He was. We were like two trains.
You will cross paths again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he mentioned some, and then I just started talking about how, you know, listen, I believe the way to fix the sport of horse racing is, you know, because I use all the, they're not making more sports bettors, but they're not making more horse racing bettors. They're making more sports bettors.
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, I mentioned a conversation, just an exchange I had with Wishnev a few years ago when we were up in the ballroom upstairs mm-hmm. watching the Derby. And he was, you know, he was like, hey, what do we win if this horse wins? And I go, we don't know. He goes, oh, yeah, I forgot about that stuff.
Parimutuel, yeah.
Right. This is parimutuel. And so my theory that I put forward yesterday is if you just made the switch to fixed odds, not universally, but if you went very dramatically towards fixed odds. I'm not talking about the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont. I'm talking about week after week after week. Mm-hmm. If you did this, you will save your dying sport. And you say what?
It's a good point. In fact, Monmouth, the folks in Monmouth,
yes, as has been pointed out,
them on Haskell Day mm-hmm. did offer some fixed odds wagering. They've done it the last couple of years. Overall, Gil, the handle, the parimutuel handle in the United States has remained kind of flat the last several years. Now, it pales in comparison to sports wagering. People, especially younger folks, they like to know what they're going to win when
yep.
they make a wager.
Yep.
It's very frustrating on a routine basis to say, you know, you bet a 5-to-1 shot and then, you know, here's the first call. Which, you know, right after the race start, because the tote is still calculating, and all of a sudden the horse is 2-to-1 or 9-to-5, right? You know, now I think to your point, there's several things to incorporate with some fixed odds. I think you should have both in Europe, Australia. I was just with some Australian folks yesterday, and they offer both Tabcorp, which controls the operates the tote in Australia. So you've got bookies at the track, and you've got the tote, so you've got the opportunity to do both. And Monmouth, again, credit them for initiating it here in this country. I also think, though, that what you want to have in the sport is more coverage, more TV. Let's face it. That's what's contributed
sure.
a lot to
sure.
sports betting.
Sure.
Superstars. Who are the stars? Who are the top horses? Who are the top jockeys right now? You really don't know. And they're not around a lot because the industry has now migrated to the breeding aspect of it. So you've got horses now that they may run, your best horses may run 3 times in a year. We're going to see the Derby coming up and on the Derby trail. You might see, you're going to have horses that only ran maybe 5 times. And so there has to be some other thing. There's got to be a better coordination, Gil, of races and how they're run and how they how they're promoted and things like that. So probably more of a quality than quantity aspect. So, but a step, I think something that could gain some traction is what Monmouth initiated with the Haskell and some fixed odds wagering.
Well, again, we stumble into our conversations and sometimes they're more compelling than others. Yesterday was one of these where it's so great that we ended up doing it because, and again, completely just off the cuff, because what it did was it elicited these really passionate responses where people,
yep.
some, you know, the real horse racing diehards are like, that's the dumbest thing. I'm paraphrasing, no one said this, but it's like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Whereas like Felica and Flatter especially,
yep.
Flatter's texting me, he's like, oh my God, you're 1,000%
sure.
right. And he works at Horse Racing Nation.
Oh, absolutely. And Chris, the Bear is a great horse racing fan. He's a good handicapper. The thing is this, as a bettor, even as a bookmaker, you know what? Ultimately, you really do want both because now, as a bettor, yeah. you got fixed odds, and then you're looking for overlays in the in the pools, right? Maybe in the tote on the tote side, and then as a bookmaker, you know what? If you're exposed, you're looking for overlays as well into the tote.
I read something earlier. Someone tweeted this. Dennis Drazen said, you know, who's responsible for maybe sports betting in this entire country in New Jersey. He believes, and I did not know this, he believes 50% will be fixed odds moving forward.
Yeah, Dennis is a great proponent of it and very passionate about it. Does great work back there.
Vincenzo, I always appreciate it.
Welcome back, buddy. Good to be with you guys, you and Parlay. And Kev, there he is.
Okay. Jeff, doing much better. Doing much better. For Vincenzo Maliulo, Maolio family, Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. We have the Lombardi Line next, and they will talk all things. I'm sure they'll get into Matthew Stafford as well. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.